This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We're going to make fun of Democrat dysfunction. Talk about some of the things the Biden administration was planning on doing if they got another 4 years. We have to talk about the medical industry, the age of things, an illegal got snatched up and sent to El Salvador. All that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show this hour. Now, this kind of piggybacks on what we were discussing the first hour about how vicious these people are and how there's always terrible infighting and knifing and everything going on inside of whatever Communist Party happens to exist. For us, it's the Democrat Party. In the UK, it's the Labour Party. Canada has their own. But for us, it's the Democrat Party. That's our Communist Party. And this David Hogg situation just absolutely kills me, because David Hogg is the vice chair. Right? He's a big shot now. But who is David Hogg? Well, we already explained. He's the air fingers quote school shooting survivor, and he's risen to national prominence as a communist activist, a gun grabber. That's what he does. Rosen? Did I say Rosen? He's risen, Chris. Chris, can we edit that? Dang, we're live. That sucks. I like Rosen, actually, better now that I think about it, Chris. You know what? I'm going to stick with that. He rosened to power and vice chair. But the thing is, you didn't wash all the stank off of him when you made him vice chair. Remember what we just got done saying? The CEO, who's a communist, he's not a CEO first and a communist second. He's a communist first. Did you think when you made David Hogg vice chair of the DNC that he was going to consider himself vice chair of the DNC before a communist? You thought wrong. David Hogg came out and publicly announced his intention to challenge established Democrats in safe seats so he can pull the party further to the left. It's so bad. The fighting has gotten so bad. The chief, Ken Martin of the DNC, had to come out against it.
Let me be unequivocal. No DNC officer should ever attempt to influence the outcome of a primary election, whether on behalf of an incumbent or a challenger. If you want to challenge incumbents, you're more than free to do that, but just not as an officer of the DNC, because our job is to be neutral arbiters. We can't be both the referee and also the player at the same time.
Aren't you enjoying the Civil War? I think it's just fantastic, but this is what they've done. And keep this in mind. When you are a Democrat, I want you to think about elected Democrats at a national level, but this also applies at the state and local level. Well, I'll pause on that for a second. I ran for Congress, right? I ran for Congress. I lost twice. You already know that. But everyone knew the race was going to be close the first time I ran. And there's always the thinking, well, what if he wins? Did you know we were already getting applications from people who wanted to work for me? Now, who were these people? Well, a lot of these people were my campaign staffers, hardcore anti-communist activists who'd been working hard. They wanted to work in my congressional office if I won. Another group of people were young people, young men, young women who wanted something that looked good on their resume. They, hey, do you think my son could work for you out of this office? Do you think my daughter could intern for you here? But what do all of these people, every one of them, what do they all have in common? They were all on the right. And because it was me, they were always far to the right. Do you think I took an interview or got an application from a single Democrat to work for me? Of course not. Now, obviously, that's a pretty fairly obvious point, but think about that. Expand that to every Democrat senator, every Democrat member of the House, city councilman, state house, whatever. Who works for these people? Who do they hire? They have staff, too. It's all activists on the left. You notice how many of these people have their staffers or former staffers getting busted doing crazy communist things? Remember that story the other day about the dude who was keying Teslas? Who did he work for? Tim Walz. It's all nutballs. So they're constantly fighting off revolutionaries now that they have groomed from inside their own party, because that's who goes to work for the local Democrat. It's anarchy inside of the Democrat Party. Oh, and then there's this little bit. Yes, it is an advantage that Democrats have made Trump the ultimate boogeyman. Look at him. He's the devil. Look at him. Because it gives, we've talked about this, it makes them mission focused. It gives them something to strive towards, right? Stop Trump. Ah! But you've also recruited communist revolutionaries, and you've told everybody that stopping Trump is the ultimate goal. Now the party's divided.
And this, I think, is a revolt that is going on within the Democratic Party right now, Democrats and their leaders. I mean, take a look nationally. Hello, Democrats and Dem leaders in Congress. The belief that they will do the right thing when it comes to the economy. Last year at this time, 80% believe that the Democratic leaders in Congress would do the right thing when it comes to the economy. And keep in mind, this is Democrats. Look at where we are now. That number has been slashed in half to just 39%. Holy Toledo, that is the lowest number by far in Gallup polling. The lowest previous was just 60%, which is 21 points higher than this. Democrats hate what their congressional leaders in Washington are doing right now on the key issue of the day, the economy, and their confidence has fallen through the floor, Mr. Berman.
Democrats hate their own party because Democrats have forever promised everybody that they would stop Donald Trump, that we have to stop Trump, stop Trump, stop Trump, stop Trump, stop Trump, over and over and over and over and over again. And now they're not stopping Trump. They can't stop. They don't have the power to stop him in significant ways. So they're angry. The older established ones are angry at the younger radicals. The younger radicals, they're angry at everybody. This is Haley Stevens. This is a member of Congress. I want you to listen to this person. This is a representative, a Democrat member of Congress from Michigan. This is the kind of person Democrats have to deal with now.
The gentlewoman is recognized for an additional 30 seconds.
Cause of the servitude, sharing in the profession with those who have not come before you. Similar times of trying medical need, wars and flus pass. You will see darkness, you will be pushed, and our society needs you to stand together at this time. Our country loves you. To our doctors and our nurses, I wear these lace.
The gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman from Maryland is...
Could you imagine having to deal with these nutballs? All right, let's move on and talk about something else, shall we? Speaking of nutballs, let's talk about Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, because she just makes my point perfectly. It's the perfect transition into that. She doesn't see herself as a judge. She doesn't see herself as a Supreme Court justice. What does she see herself as first? A communist. A revolutionary. There was a case brought in front of the Supreme Court, and it was about the indoctrination, the endless indoctrination of LGBTQ demon mob stuff in our schools. You see, they keep putting these, I mean, I can't even describe them on the air because it's a family show, these books in schools for little kids to read with, it's pornography. There's no other way to describe it. It's pornography. In any other walk of life, if you saw, I'm gonna vomit just thinking about it. If you saw these pictures, you would say that's pornography. She knows that. Here she is.
We don't at this moment, based on the record you've provided, know that these books aren't just sitting on the shelves. And you've said that if that's the case, that's not going to be enough.
I disagree, Your Honor. The record is undisputed. And I, again, will refer you to the district court transcript at 63, where counsel
So you're saying the Fourth Circuit is wrong when it says, quote, we don't have any information about how any teacher or school employee has actually used any of the books.
The Court of Appeals.
Yeah, you hear what she's doing. You hear what she's doing.
And I guess I'm struggling to see how it burdens a parent's religious exercise if the school teaches something that the parent disagrees with. You have a choice. You don't have to send your kid to that school.
How does it burden you if we took your third grader and we showed him this book of some just absolutely despicable acts and told him that he could be a tranny if he wants to? Why are you complaining? Just keep your kid home from school. Is she a judge? Does she see herself as a judge, as a Supreme Court justice? She's a communist revolutionary, first and foremost. One more quick word on that. We'll do some emails before we move on. Let's do some tunnel to towers. You see, the work of taking care of widows and orphans never stops. And there are always more of them. You know, we always try to read the names and ranks of these guys who die, these men and women who die in training accidents. But how long does that last? It's the opening of a show every now and then. A couple minutes. Then we're done. But the wife left behind is not done. The children left behind is not done. Their entire world has been ripped apart. Who helps them? Long after the names have been read, who helps them? Tunnel to Towers is the one who helps them. Paying off their mortgages, finding homeless veterans and getting them off the street, firemen who die in the line of duty, cops who die in the line of duty. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is the one helping these people. All they've ever asked for is $11 a month from us. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One more word on the child trans stuff. Remember, the communist, I already talked about how he looks at power, and he wants to use it for the revolution. He looks at your children the same way, because they are power for him, remember? They're a resource. If he can break them from you and get them in his camp instead of your camp, get rid of your stupid values, make them revolutionaries, little, single, miserable, on medication, just monsters, well, they'll be loyal Democrats their entire lives. Don't believe me? Listen to the Colorado Democrats.
Under English common law, it was recognized that the care of all infants is lodged in the king as parens patriae, and by the king, this care is delegated to the court of chancery. In protecting neglected and dependent children, chancery courts use what are called equitable powers, the essential ideas of which are flexibility, guardianship, and the balancing of interest in the general welfare, with a view to getting a fairer result than could be obtained by applying older and more rigid rules. So the notion that parents have rights have always reigned supreme is not in our English-Saxon history, but rather that there was always a recognition that the state had an interest in protecting the rights of children.
What did you just say? Parents' rights. Oh, please. It's up to the state, you see. That's how these people think. And years and years and years of their thinking like that and us being asleep at the wheel, myself included, has led us to this point. Headline, this is from the Harvard Political Review. Less than half of young Americans are proud to be an American. Now, don't get me wrong, young people are drifting our way quickly. In fact, we'll get to that in a little bit. They're quickly getting our way. But for decades, we have told young people that they just need to go to college. Hey, go to college. And we've sent them off to school. Hey, just go learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. Little did we know the communist was sitting there like a hungry wolf in that school, waiting for Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to walk in the door so he could shatter them away from you. And it's led us to where we are. All right, let's do some emails. I'm way behind on this, and tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so I got to clear some room out. Hey, Jesse, I was just listening to another talk show, and they compared Trump to Hannibal. They stated that if Hannibal had just taken Rome, he would have won instead of hesitating and playing the long game. Your thoughts? Well, this is one of those historical debates. And for you non-Roman types, during the Second Punic War, that's when the famous Carthaginian general Hannibal led an army over the Alps into Italy and promptly started wiping out entire Roman armies. At one point in time, he had wiped out really all of the Roman armies. And after he did that, the thinking was Hannibal was going to march on Rome and end Rome because Rome would not submit. They wouldn't surrender. And they thought he was going to do this in Rome. It's documented to this day. It was widespread panic in Rome. After the last Roman army had been wiped out, they thought he was coming. Make it about Washington, D.C. Think if the Chinese landed a bunch of divisions on our shores, and we would think to ourselves, well, that's fine. I'm sure the Marines and the Army will fight them off and all that stuff. And what if all of our guys got wiped out and there were 10 Chinese divisions marching on D.C. with no other troops? You'd think, okay, well, we're in trouble. In Rome, there was no more army. And in Rome, they thought Hannibal was going to march and take it. Now, this is where people who judge historically, and we all debate, I do the same thing too. We look back and we judge with 20/20 hindsight. Why didn't Hannibal just take out Rome? Here's my problem with that way of thinking. Hannibal was not only an extremely capable man, general, tactically. He may be the greatest general who ever lived, tactically. Who else wiped out that many Roman armies at the height of their power? He was amazing. He was very experienced. He grew up, his father was a general. He was a military man. A military man, a tactical genius, and a man who has, by this point in time, a cemented reputation as being bold. He will take bold steps. He'll try to ambush an entire army. He'll march elephants through the Alps. He'll do big, bold things. If Hannibal thought he could take Rome, don't you think he would have taken Rome? That's where I always come down on it. What are we going to say? He was a wuss? He was far from that. Are we going to say that he didn't know what he was doing? I don't think me, Jesse Kelly, radio host and 4-year average Marine, is qualified to judge the actions of one Hannibal Barca. But look, maybe I'm wrong. Look, geniuses make mistakes too. Maybe he should have. I don't think he could have. Or at least I don't think he thought he could have. Taking out an army in the open field is a whole different nut to crack than taking down walls and laying siege to the biggest city on the planet. All right, whatever. Well, outside of China. Anyway, let's move on and talk about your doctor, illegal immigration. Pam Bondi first, though. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Let's check in on the government criminals really quickly, shall we, before we get back to some emails and the story about the illegals and then having a dictator and all those other things. This was Tammy Bruce talking about the State Department. Remember we brought up the other day, Marco Rubio is doing some very good things, eliminating State Department positions, eliminating really entire departments at the State Department. Well, I need to explain something before I talk about Pam Bondi and these things next. The State Department
You know what it is. They open up an embassy. There's an embassy. There are U.S. embassies all over the planet, all over the globe, right? And maybe you have a mistaken view, as I did for the longest time, about what that means and what takes place there. I've actually joked before on the radio that I want to be an ambassador to someplace. Why? Well, it's not because I want to serve or do anything good. All they do is go to parties. Man, I want to host some fancy dinner. I live in the embassy. I'm going to travel around in an armored convoy. Feel really important. That's right, Chris. Pad the resume. Ambassador Jesse. It has a nice ring to it. Perfect. Perfect. No, but obviously, I'm kidding. But that's kind of what we think about when we think about the U.S. Embassy. I've actually laid eyes. In fact, I was standing about 10 feet away from the U.S. Embassy in Paris. Remember when we got stuck there for 2 days during a layover? Got stuck in Paris. Happened to be walking right by it. I'm like, why are these armed guards? Oh, our embassy. And you look at that embassy and you say to yourself, well, that's obviously where the ambassador lives and all these State Department employees live. And what are they doing? What's their job? Well, diplomacy. They're, of course, hosting dinners, having important meetings. They're probably having important meetings about Trump's trade talks and tariffs and important agreements. And you, that's what you picture, right? With the State Department. That's what I picture. That's a tiny little sliver of what the State Department actually does. What the United States State Department has been doing for years and years and years is causing revolution. It's what they've done. If there is a political party, if the political party in power, where we have an embassy, and there's a political party in power, and our politicians decide they don't like that political party or they don't like that government, they will take the vast quantities of money we give to the State Department, and they will create revolutions inside of that country to topple governments. The United States State Department topples governments with propaganda and money and other things. That's what it's been doing for a long time. You could argue that's not actually the end of the world, right? We want our State Department to do something. We want them working on behalf of America and America's interests. And if there's a government hostile to our interests, good. I'm glad we toppled it. That would be a one way of thinking. And I'm not even going to say you're wrong. The problem with that way of thinking is for years and years and years, who has been putting their people into place in the State Department around the globe? I've got a clue for you. It hasn't been Republicans. And when Republicans get in there, they don't get rid of all the Democrats that have been put into place. So that embassy that's in Paris, who do you think they're trying to stop from coming to power in Paris, in France? May I point out to you, and no, I'm not saying our State Department had anything to do with this. I'm not saying they didn't, but do I need to remind you that Le Pen, the right-wing lady, just got barred from running for office in Paris, in France? She was leading in the polls. She was kind of their Trump-type figure, the nationalist populist type. They just charged her with a crime and prevented her from running for office. Do you think the State Department wanted that to happen? So, yeah, it's bad. Now that brings me to this little bit. This is Tammy Bruce.
That about 10% of 100% of the money that was allocated to certain foreign aid, to all foreign aid, only 10% of it went to the issue. 90% was eaten up by bureaucracy and contractors and layer after layer of people making money on those efforts. What we say here with this dynamic, it's not that we're pulling back on foreign aid or what's important to us. It's actually getting it back to the point where we can make a difference, where the money that is spent actually goes to the issues that matter to the American people, that matter to the nation.
I want to focus on the first part of it. When they give $100 million, it was a lot more than that, but when they give $100 million to the State Department, in fact, let's make it about a specific issue. Let's say, hey, State Department, we want you to teach Egyptian kids how to read. Here's $100 million, State Department, to teach Egyptian kids how to read. So, U.S. Embassy in Cairo, here's a $100 million check. Have a good time. Get those little Egyptian kids hooked on phonics. $10 million of that actually goes to Abdul and his children's books. $90 million of that disappears. But where does it disappear? Because it doesn't disappear. It doesn't actually disappear. Where does it go? Well, you heard her lay out the different contractors and layers of bureaucracy. When you hand $100 million to the State Department in Cairo, and they're supposed to use it to help little Egyptian kids learn how to read, they find a way to stick their fingers in $90 million of it and instead fund every little CIA / State Department pet project in Cairo. Hey, instead of $100 million to teach Egyptian kids how to read, let's send $10 million to that. And let's spend $90 million buying AK-47s for the revolutionary group who's going to topple the government. Let's spend $40 million to teach them all how to be gay. Let's spend it. Instead, we have communist revolutionaries put into place in State Department agency after State Department agency across the planet. And they're swindling our money and using it for evil purposes. Which brings me to this. Pam Bondi made another public announcement.
We're excited to be here for the launch of the Task Force to Eradicate Anti-Christian Bias as outlined in the President's executive order. Together, this task force will identify any unlawful anti-Christian policies, practices, or conduct across the government. Seek input from the faith-based organizations and state governments to end anti-Christian bias.
Okay. Look, it's fine in a vacuum. It's fine. Yeah, like Chris said, it's not bad. It's not bad. But we just talked about one portion of the government, the billions of dollars they've used illegally, billions of your money. We haven't even talked about the Pentagon. We haven't even sniffed the Pentagon yet. My goodness. CIA, NSA, we haven't even, the FBI. Our federal government is full of criminals. I once again am getting this little spidey sense tingle. I can feel the hairs on my arm stick up. I'm getting this spidey sense tingle that we're being played. I see a press conference about anti-Christian bias, and what I see is something that's designed to make me think you're doing something. To make me stand up and cheer by tossing me a little table scrap of steak. Oh, I don't get any of the actual delicious meat or fat. You toss me a little piece of gristle and you think that's going to get me to stop begging. Government criminals have to go to prison. Period. End of story. Do some emails in a moment. Before we do that, let me get the pain out of your life. Pain's awful, isn't it? It sucks. The daily pain that grinds you down to powder sucks. I've been through it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have friggin' back pain that has you doing the thing every time you move. It's awful. You know what I'm talking about, Chris. Everyone knows it. Your knee pain. You're always rubbing it, aren't you? What is it about? Why do we think that works? It doesn't work. We rub it. Or your hands. You do that thing where you put your thumb in the palm of your hand. I know. Stop masking the pain in your life and stop ignoring it. Relief Factor's here to take it away. Take it away. 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. It works better the longer you use it. Relief Factor doesn't sell you a year's supply. 3 weeks. They sell a 3-week quick start for $19.95. They tell you, it'll work. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't, don't order anymore. You will. Everyone else does. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
And
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours dedicated to you, but you better get them in now. Also, remember that John Cornyn needs to be taken out in a primary next year in Texas. It is important to send a message to the GOP establishment that we are finally involved enough to take out powerful members of the establishment in a primary in a red state. John Thune needs to see it. Lindsey Graham needs to see it. All of them. Rounds. Tillis. They all need to see it. But John Cornyn, he's running the good old-fashioned get reelected playbook by doing what we've seen many times before.
Thanks to President Trump's outstanding leadership, states like Texas are able to attract world-class companies like Apple, NVIDIA, Novartis, and others that have made multi-billion dollar investments right here in the USA.
Operation President Trump needs sucked up to. I wish I'd put that differently. Anyway, that operation is well underway. Cross your fingers. Let's hope it doesn't work. Hey, Jay Steele, I've always been under the assumption, maybe naively, that the rights in the Constitution only applied to American citizens. So with all this talk about due process surrounding deportations of criminal foreigners who came into our country illegally, I'm a bit confused. Who is entitled to due process in our country and who isn't? Well, first of all, the American Constitution is for Americans, period. It's for American citizens. The French Constitution is not for you. The Canadian Constitution is not for you or for me. The American Constitution. I, as an American citizen, am governed under America's laws, period. And I have protections as an American citizen. Lots of them. That's part of the benefit of citizenship. There are two types of people who tell you that illegals should be given, quote, due process. And there are only two types of people. The first kind, we really don't have to bother with because they're hopeless anyway. The first kind of person who says that is just an America-hating communist trying to find any reason at all to destroy the country. And so they know how to cloak their evil with words that we love. That's the left does this so, so well, and the right falls for it so many times. You get some scumbag leftist who brought in 20 million foreign barbarians as fast as they could. Now you try to remove them. Well, they know you want them removed, but they want to stop you. So what do? To try to change your heart? Hey, I thought you cared about the Constitution. Is that what Jefferson would want? Maybe you should read the Bill of Rights. They don't actually care about Jefferson or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. They care about the Revolution. But they know you care about Jefferson. You care about the Constitution. You care about the Bill of Rights. So they know how to use your values against you. We're going to set that group of people aside because they're already the enemy. We have to work against them at all times. We get that. There is a portion of the right who believes this as well. Part of me believes a lot of these people are genuine. Part of me genuinely believes that the right, I'm talking about our politicians, our people with a platform, you know, radio, writers, TV, that some of these people are actually card-carrying communists. They know they can't advertise that. So they try to just kind of worm their way in to weaken us as much as humanly possible. But some may be genuine. Some people on the right actually believe that you can save a country when the communists have brought in 20 million and you're going to give every illegal a hearing on the way out. Look, there's a story that's supposed to be controversial. Here's a headline of it. Venezuelan immigrant in Detroit makes the wrong turn at Ambassador Bridge and is deported. Apparently, he was locked up and sent to El Salvador. Well, here's from the article. 32-year-old Venezuelan immigrant Ricardo Prada Vasquez reportedly went the wrong way delivering a food order in January
ended up crossing the Canadian border, was taken into custody by U.S. authorities, and he was deported. Let me ask you something. What do you think about that story? He's obviously, I'm assuming, DoorDash or Uber Eats, or I didn't look that much into it, but delivering food, maybe he's delivering pizzas, makes a wrong turn, runs into authorities. They find out he's not a citizen, gets deported. Does that bother you? There is a low-T portion of the right that will look at a story like that and be mortified by it. But that's how every country should run its immigration system, and that's how most countries do. It doesn't matter the reason, whether you got a traffic ticket, whether you murdered 10 people, whether you hooked a left when you should have hooked a right on DoorDash. If you come into contact with authorities and you're in a country illegally, you are apprehended and deported. That doesn't mean you want them to have their fingernails pulled out. It doesn't mean you want them killed or something like that. You apprehend them, you're gone. Goodbye. Bye-bye. That's how it has to be done. But a portion of the right has been so neutered and weakened through years and years of reading National Review and other pathetic publications like that, Cato Institute, these real loser publications and loser think tanks, that now there are people, there is a portion of the right that thinks losing, as long as you lose the right way, is a good outcome. Well, look, we have to obey it. It's the due process. If we lose that, look, they love this line. They love this line. When fighting monsters, you better make sure you don't become one. That is their favorite line in the world. Hey, don't be too mean or you've already lost. When you're fighting demons who brought in 20 million barbarians as fast as they could, you better become a freaking monster, or you will lose. And then your women lose, and your children lose, and your country's gone. Oh, I've got a great example of this in just a moment. Then we'll get to dentistry. That'll be fun. Before we get to that, I want to give a big thank you to Legacy Box. Legacy Box, you already know, this is the American company, and you already know what they do. They take your pictures, the hard pictures you have, and the camcorder tapes, the VHS tapes, the home movies you have. They digitize everything. You send in that stuff, and they digitize it. And they not only you get the digital copies, obviously, but they send you the originals back. Well, it's quite an exercise in trust to load that stuff in a box and send it to a company, isn't it? Well, that's why they base it in Tennessee, and that's why they have their reputation. They took such good care of my family. They have a special right now, $9 a tape. They're digitizing your stuff. Stop waiting for a fire to break out. Stop waiting for a flood. Stop waiting for humidity. Get that stuff permanent with you forever. Protect your memories. Take advantage of the All-American sale. $9 a tape, digitized by hand here in America. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Thank you, Legacy Box. Very much appreciate you. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.